You're listening to the Sportsman's Nation Podcast Network, powered by Interstate Batteries. From your truck to your trail camera, Interstate Batteries has you covered. Visit your local Interstate Battery store today or online at interstatebatteries.com. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
Welcome to the Southern Ground Hunting Podcast. I am your host, Parker McDonald, and this is episode number 25. Today I'm recording from Florida. I'm going to talk a little bit about my first experiences hunting on public land here in Florida. I'm also talking with Michael and his brother, Heath Pike, about how they are planning on filling their Alabama buck tags. You guys, stay tuned. This is going to be a fun episode. All right, welcome to episode number 25 of the Southern Ground Hunting Podcast. I am coming at you today from Central Florida. I'm going to tell you something, guys. I spent my first day hunting today here on public land in Florida, and it was interesting. I did not see one deer, but there is hope because I found one deer track. So I'm going to go back in the morning to where I found that one deer track. I walked a lot today, and I found one deer track. So I'm going to go back there in the morning and see if I can find that one deer that made that deer track. So I'm pretty sure in this whole, I think it's like 10,000 acres or something like that of property. I think there might only be just a few deer on it. So it was crazy. I couldn't believe how much property is there and how much land and how much habitat that looks prime for whitetails. And there was just nothing. It was just nothing. I can't even describe it to you. But the out-of-state license, the non-resident license, only like $46 for me to hunt. And then I bought the WMA license, which is like $25. And then a deer tag, which was $5, I think. So, you know, it's not like I'm out a whole lot of money by hunting here. But it is tough. Like, everything that everybody in Florida has ever said about it being hard to hunt here, I now believe them, because it's tough. There's just not a lot of deer here. I've told people before, I think some of the best deer hunters in the country live here in Florida, and they've probably never killed a deer over 80 inches. And I really do believe that. If you can kill any legal buck out here, you've done something. Of course, everybody hunts with dogs. A lot of people dog hunt, so there is that aspect of it that we talk about in this episode today. I have mixed opinions on it. You know, I don't know how I feel about it, but as long as it's legal and you're doing everything legal, then power to you. I don't know if it's something that I'd ever do. I might. I'm never going to say never, but we'll see how I feel tomorrow. Tomorrow I may be like coming into those deer camps asking if I can hunt with those guys, but who knows? Well, you know, we'll see how it goes tomorrow. But before we get into this episode, I want to give a huge shout out to our partners. Huge thank you to the guys at New Breed Archery. If you use the code SOUTHERNGROUND at checkout, you will get free shipping on your bow. Like we've talked about before, it is completely direct to consumer, completely customizable. You get your bow customized. They've also started a new little side gig, little side hustle, where they are doing like finishes. Like, one of the things that I've seen them do is do like powder coating on the platform, the Predator platforms, and they're doing it on all kinds of stuff, all kinds of bows. I believe it's called Bow Works, that they're kind of a new thing that Kyle Knoll is taking on, which is pretty neat. So but with New Breed, go and use that code, that's Southern Ground, and you can get free shipping on your bow. Next up, we got Tethered. I can't say enough good things about my saddle my Tethered Mantis saddle that I'm using. It is seriously the best move I have ever made in deer hunting, is switching to a saddle. Now, there's all kinds of brands that you can use. I say all kinds. There's a few different brands that you can use of saddle, but I'm here to tell you that the Tethered Mantis and just the whole Tethered website is the place that you need to go check out first. Before you make any decisions on any saddle, check out the Tethered website. It's tetherednation.com. Everything you could possibly need to be in a tree, in a saddle, you'll find it on their website. So go check out tetherednation.com. We got Onyx maps. I've been using a lot of Onyx lately here, especially in Florida. Today, I tried to use it. I ended up being in this area that was like super swampy. I couldn't navigate it. I had no idea where to even try to set up. Ended up going back to the truck and finding high ground. And all I had to do was flip on the topo feature on Onyx maps, and I found some ground that was high and I was able to hunt. Now, that did not help me kill a deer, but I think if I do kill a deer, it would be because I was on that high ground that I found using that. I would have not known where to go if I did not have that. So please go check out Onyx maps. Go ahead and get the premium membership. Go ahead and get the elite membership so you can hunt all 50 states. You can have access to all 50 states maps. But if you just want one state, you can also get the premium membership, which is a little bit cheaper, but you only get one state. So go check them out. Lastly, Go Wild. Now, Go Wild is, I've done a really terrible job in the last couple episodes as I've been listening back to them of explaining what it is. So Go Wild is just a social media app that you can get on your smartphone to keep up with people all across the country on what people are doing, all the fun that they're having in the woods, their pictures, their hunting stories, their recipes. It's just a really fun app to pass your time, to build relationships with some cool people that are like-minded individuals, that are sportsmen and women, who share a lot of the common goals, the common interests that you have. And so go and check that out. Go Wild is not based on followers. It's just based on content. It's going to push the content that you want to see. So go get it on the App Store, whatever App Store you use. I don't know. I use an iPhone, so it's just called the App Store. But go get that. Go check it out. I think that you will enjoy it. So that's all done. We're going to get right through. We're going to get to this episode with Mike Pike and Heath Pike about late season hunting tactics. We've got a special treat for you today. I'm in Florida right now. That's not the treat. That's actually, well, we'll get into that here in a minute. But we have got Michael Pike and a special guest, Michael's brother, Mr. Heath Pike. How you doing, Heath?
Man, I'm awesome. How are you?
Fantastic. This is going to be really weird, guys, because y'all sound a lot alike on the phone. So,
well, he's got all the personality, and he laughs a whole lot, so you'll be able to easily turn it.
That's awesome. So you guys are on a little brotherhood hunt. Is that what's going on right now?
Yeah, we don't ever get to spend a whole lot of time together hunting, and so we usually have about once or twice a year that we get to go with each other, and so I decided to drive up for a special hunt, and I'd been trying to get him to go, and he hadn't been able to go any of the times, and he was finally able to make it up. So we just got through, he just got through cooking me a steak, ribeye.
That's the way to do it.
I bought four. Yeah.
That's the way to do it.
I've got four kids, so that was the only way we could do it. He bought the steaks, and I cooked them. I've got four kids, too.
See, I got eight.
You can't one-up me there.
That's awesome. So, did you guys have any luck today?
I saw a bunch before daylight when I first got up here. And then I actually jumped a group of what I assume were does. Off the end of a greenfield, probably about 8:30 this morning. And
what were you doing walking in at 8:30?
Oh, I was already hunting. But the spot I went to in the dark, you know, I haven't been here and hunted before. So I came with you last year when we turkey hunted and did the little podcast with the hunting public. But as far as hunting, I've never hunted this public, you know, piece before, so
yeah,
kind of sound like you, I guess. Never been here before. Never hunted here. First yeah. Time.
So well, if it makes you. Point. What was that?
Yeah, I saw a 6 point this morning.
Well, dadgum.
On the road I was on. Yeah, it was while I was in my truck.
Oh, man. That's the way it works.
It didn't do much good.
Yeah, well, listen, dude. Hey, I'm going to tell y'all something. So I'm here in Florida right now, and it's just a whole new world, man. Like, it's so crazy.
A whole new world.
Yeah. I was trying to figure out how I was going to make an Aladdin joke there, but yeah, you got me covered. But it seriously is, like, it is so, it's so different here. Like, I was driving, I drove around the WMA 2 days ago, two evenings ago, just right at dark, and, like, there was people just, like, perched up on the roads, right? They have these trucks with seats on top of them, which I'm from Texas, and that's a thing there. You have big trucks with a seat on top. But they're just they got dogs out running deer, and they're setting up on the roads and waiting for the deer to cross. I don't know if y'all have ever done that before or watched videos of people doing that, but it's really interesting, actually. But the funny thing is like, so, you know, in Alabama, like, we pretty much, if you see a deer on the road and you're in your vehicle, you don't shoot it. Like, some people do, I'm sure. But, like, that's not a normal thing to see somebody hunting on the road like that. Well, out here, that's the way they do it. Like, everybody's just sitting on the roads. I was like, I pulled up next to a guy the other day, and I was like, "You guys doing all right?" And he was like, "Yeah, yeah, we're doing good." And I was like, "Are you freaking hunting right now?" Because it's like he was literally sitting next to his Jeep with his gun propped up on the side view mirror. He's like, "Yeah, yeah, we're good." I'm like, "You're not being sneaky, okay? You're not sneaky at all."
So is it legal to do that?
I don't know. I mean, I don't have any idea. But they're,
see,
I mean,
they're Alabama. They do that with spotlights. Yeah. And it's completely normal. Not legal, but normal.
Yeah, there's a big difference between legal and normal, I guess. I don't know, man. Like, I don't know what the legality of everything is. There is one thing that I saw a lot of out here in those groups of people that there is no way it's legal, but everybody had natty lights, like, on their tailgates, drinking beer. I couldn't believe it. I was like, I pulled up and I was talking to this one group of guys, and they were real nice, you know, but they were freaking soused. Like, but they had guns on their shoulders. They're like, "Oh yeah, we got dogs out right now." I'm like, "Okay, well, see y'all later. I'm going to get far away from here."
Park comes up missing.
Yeah, I mean, it's a crazy thing out here. And there's, like, everybody's got these trucks that are, like, jacked up, like, big, huge mudders on them. Like, I'm talking, like, I don't know tire sizes very well, but very big. They make my Hummer, which has, you know, it's got off-road tires on it. They make my Hummer look like a town car. They're so big and jacked up, and, like, they all
do
stay at their.
Do they make my truck look small?
Yours is gonna be on the smaller end of a lot of the trucks that they have there.
Yeah.
So I mean, like, you can get an idea.
44s or something like that.
I don't know. But your truck is 10 times nicer than, I mean, these are all, like, old, like, 80s models trucks and stuff that they've got.
I always wanted to jack up one of those old Ford F-250s. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Those are pretty sweet. Then you'd fit in. You'd fit in well here, Mike. It's, yeah. It's your people, I guess.
But, sounds like it's your people.
No.
Down there visiting family?
Yeah, we got family here, and my family doesn't hunt. Like, my brother-in-law does, but he lives in Georgia now, and he won't hunt out here. He don't even do it. Just because, like I told you before we recorded, Mike, but I walked a lot today. I ended up setting up in the saddle in one spot.
I thought you said you swam.
Yeah, I basically swam. It was, dude, everything is covered in water. It's like up to my ankles, which is not a big deal, you know. I mean, we've hunted a few places that were swampy, and you can kind of get an idea of, like, where deer are bedded at and stuff in swampy areas and stuff. But out here, it's like there's just no
bedded
high ground.
In the trees.
Yeah, like I don't know where they bed because it's just not high ground at all. It's all about, you know, shin deep water. But I did manage to get one deer track. I cut one track today. So
Do you have on your dive mask?
Yeah. Yeah. I had to put my GoPro under the water to film it. I think I heard
somebody back in the summertime, you know, when they were having their rut down there, talking about the deer being bedded like in knee deep water.
That's crazy.
I thought that was pretty unique. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure they do. I'm sure they have to, all five of the deer that live out here. You know, I'd imagine they probably bed somewhere close together, but I ended up finding some high ground that still had some water in some places of it, but it was pretty thick. You know, where those areas that aren't flooded, they get pretty thick in there, and that, I guess it's palmetto undergrowth type stuff that grows in there. I mean, it grows up real high on the high ground, and I mean, it looks like there should be deer all over the place, but there ain't. So, I don't know, man. Do you know Walter Lee, Mike?
Yeah.
I asked him, I was like, dude, I need some help. I need some help figuring out. He lives in Florida. I think he lives up further in North Florida, which is going to be a little bit different than down here. But I was like, I need some help figuring out, like, how do you use dog hunter pressure to your advantage and stuff? And he was like, you just pay them to take you with them. That's all you do.
You give them a 24-pack of Natty Light.
Yeah, apparently that's the deal. But
so where are you, Parker? Where in Florida are you?
So I am hunting a WMA, which it's Florida, and I don't really care to share it. I'm hunting a WMA called Rich Loam, and it's in it's in Sumter County, which is like central Florida, right outside of Orlando, and I mean, apparently there's a decent population of deer hunters out here. I would have never thought so. I mean, when you drive around and you see all the vacation homes and stuff, and then you pull up into this WMA and it's every Bubba and within 1,000-mile radius is in there, you know, it's a little bit intimidating, man. I'll be honest with you. It's a little bit intimidating with their trucks and stuff, but yeah, I'm out here at Rich Loam WMA, and it actually backs up to another place called the Green Swamp WMA. And everybody talks about that one, about Green Swamp, but it's a quota hunt. And you can kind of get close to where you can hunt the borders. I don't think they allow dog hunting on the Green Swamp WMA, which is, I mean, I wish I could get in there, but, you know, I'm just here for a few days, and it's just kind of something for me to be able to pass the time. So it's fun being out in the woods.
You need to hurry up and get back up here so we can do some filming.
Yeah, man, I'm... When you sent me the picture of those steaks y'all were eating, I was like, man, I don't have any deer tags in Alabama, but I got a camera and I also have a stomach that likes steak. So, I would love to be there. So you guys, y'all are, at a new WMA, right? Y'all are, both. Heath, have you killed a buck this year?
Nope. This is my first time hunting this year.
Okay. This is only Mike's like fifth time hunting, I think. He hadn't got to hunt that much.
If you asked my wife, she'd think I was gone every day of the week.
I asked my wife, she was like, what are y'all doing?
I've been home twice as much this year. And she's like, well, it doesn't feel like it. And I'm like, well, shoot, if I had known that, then I would have just stayed out here.
as much for Mike is like 6 days instead of three that he's been home.
Right. We'll try to make sure that she doesn't hear this episode, because I don't know that whole conversation would go over real well. I asked my wife a while ago, or my wife said, what are y'all doing your podcast on, or something? And I said, well, deer hunting. And she was like, well, imagine that. You talking about deer hunting? I was like, yeah, well, it is what it is.
We need to get them together, Parker. We need to get them together. That way we can go hunt more.
That's what, I mean, In theory, that would be a really good idea, but it could just turn into it could turn into a bad thing if they got together, like teamed up against us. So y'all are hunting this new WMA. You both have all three of your Alabama buck tags in your pocket. What's the game plan for you? Like, what are y'all trying different? Are you even trying anything different? Kind of thinking outside the box. What are y'all doing?
Yeah, I was talking about that today on, I was doing a little bit of filming and I was talking about that. I was like, whatever I'm doing, I'm not doing it right. So I was like, I've got to change up some tactics here because evidently whatever I've done this season has not worked at all. So I'm not really sure at this point, Parker. If I knew, I'd probably have a deer down. besides that little buck in Kentucky and the doe I shot opening week. So, I mean, I've seen bucks, but just not what I saw last year and the year before.
Right.
So, I told Keith, it's been raining a lot this year. And I told you too, but every single time I feel like I've gotten to go, it's ended up raining. And then, like, the day I have to go back to work, which is going to be on Friday, then it clears up, and then all the deer move, and everybody kills something. So I may end up coming down with a cold on Friday. I'm not real sure yet.
Yeah.
But it's supposed to stop raining Friday morning, like around 5 a.m., so, and then it's supposed to be clear Friday and Saturday. So tomorrow we're supposed to get like an inch of rain. There's supposed to be like 20 mile per hour winds tonight and tomorrow and thunderstorms. And I told Heath, I was like, the game plan for tomorrow, if it was just, you know, raining, you know, like misty rain or something like that, we'd be up in a tree stand or on the ground, you know, just sitting in the spot waiting for a deer to come by. But it seems like whenever it's heavy rain, the deer just don't move. And I was telling him that in my past experiences, it seemed like the deer are usually bedded along creeks, and they're usually in thickets, and they're usually looking out into like hardwoods, like along the creeks.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think tomorrow that may be the game plan, especially with how much rain and how much the wind is supposed to be blowing. I think, you know, these deer are just going to be bedded up all day long. So
yeah,
I think we would be better off just doing some still hunting, honestly.
Yeah.
And I think we could get away with quite a bit, especially having our guns. I mean, we could probably spot a deer before, you know, they could spot us if we're moving slow enough. So
oh, yeah,
kind of the game plan for tomorrow.
That's funny. I out there where y'all are at, I've hunted that place when I was younger, two different occasions when I was probably in high school. And one of those trips, my dad killed, I think he killed a doe. He killed a little doe. But I did kind of the same thing that you're talking about. One of the days I just got out and started walking and ended up seeing a deer and seeing several deer and not being able to get a shot off on them. So I think that's a good plan for you guys. You know, if it's not working doing it one way, then just keep trying and keep trying new things. And you could come up on something that actually works. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Are you
choked up over here.
Hey, smoke them if you got them. You know what I mean?
Oh, man.
I heard a loud noise. He really needs to kill a deer. This is getting ridiculous.
I really do.
Hey, there's that cold you were talking about. Oh, I got a cough. Can't go to work.
Yeah. But, work.
So you were talking about that. I think that'd be something good to get into is that like crappy weather hunting tactic. So You know, you got winds that are blowing 20 miles an hour. You got rain. It's going to be pretty terrible. And I know for me, whenever I normally, when I Google stuff, when I'm looking at articles is when I'm like specific things. So how to kill a deer, where are deer at whenever the wind's blowing 20 miles an hour? Like I've Googled that probably more times than I care to even admit.
Yeah, if we're out west or, you know, in the northwest, like, or north central, wherever, like, say, like, Nebraska, Kansas, Dakotas, like, that's kind of your normal to have high winds. But it's not normal here. So anything out of the ordinary, you know, those deer just kind of lock down for the most part. And so that, that's going to be the tactic for tomorrow is to, you know, to get on our feet and go after them. I mean, if they're not going to move, then we're, you know, we're just going to go after them. So
I think that's
we may even do a little wind buff. Who knows?
Yeah, that'd be cool.
They talk to him. He doesn't know about wind buffing, but we may wind buff tomorrow.
That'd be fun. I've thought about that out here. You know, if I had several people out here in Florida, because there's so much open land. So, I mean, dude, even the pines are just wide open. Everything's wide open. And if you could find some bedding areas trying to wind bump them, I think that'd be pretty cool. But we're talking about that kind of crappy weather stuff. What was it? Last week, I'm bucked out, so I can't shoot any more bucks. So I was just out, you know, I went to probably the easiest spot that I have to kayak to. And just because I was trying to kill a doe with my bow before the Christmas break. And so I went out to this little spot, and it was like that, man. It was, I think I posted something on Facebook about it. It was like 4:30 in the morning, and the wind was already at 15 miles an hour. It was just pumping, and I had to paddle against the end of the wind. And it really sucked, and I got out at the boat ramp, and I was like, I think I'm just going to go home. But I'm glad I didn't, because I went to a spot that is in a creek, just like what you're talking about. There's two steep ridges on either side of it, and it really blocks that wind off. And I saw 8 deer that morning and 3 different bucks chasing does, which I was not expecting that. And anybody who hunts in public land in Alabama just kind of knows, like, any morning you can go out and see 3 different bucks chasing does. I guess a good day. And
that's a real good day.
It was a good day, and I got some of it on film. Actually, one of them was a small buck, and I saw the doe come through, and I was filming her, and then come to find out I didn't even have the camera on when I was filming her. So I looked down, pressed record, and found her again and recorded her. Well, when I looked back at the footage, I guess when I had looked down, that buck had come through. And I didn't see him. And so when I started actually filming, I was filming the buck and not the doe. So I wouldn't have even known if I didn't have my camera that there was actually a buck and a doe in that situation. But it was pretty cool, man. I mean, and so I think, you know, going out and changing, because, like, you know, some people have this idea that if there's a deer here, you know, if they got their kind of, yeah, I've got that honey hole spot. And a lot of people, if you don't have more than a couple spots, you're going to go out there, man, and you're just going to be disappointed on those crappy days like that. But if you have a spot that you can go to and say, okay, this is going to be really good for just this condition, this weather condition, then it could, man, it could really come in handy for those days like that. And so
yeah,
we used to
be in a hunting club down in Bullitt County, and there was a lot of deer down there, a lot of nice bucks too. And at that specific hunting club, there was a little pond, and it was in a little bit of a dip. And that little dip would always have does in it at the head of the pond. And then at the dam side, there was always a buck that would bed down at just below the dam. And evidently that's something that a lot of deer do, because they're getting on the hunting beast. I heard some people talking about below the dam, a lot of these bucks will bed up below that dam. You know, they don't get any kind of pressure coming in from the backside where the water is.
Yeah.
So and then they can, you know, watch out ahead of them. I mean, it makes perfect sense. You know, some of these simple little, you know, ideas, you know, a lot of times we just tend to overlook, you know, how simple these deer are actually.
Yeah. Do you think that's a similar thing to like betting up against a bluff?
Yeah, I think it'd be very similar to it. You know, they don't have to worry about, you know, any kind of predators, you know, jumping off a 30-foot cliff to get them.
Right. So do you think this changes, though? Like, you know, I've found a lot more buck beds in the summertime where there's a bluff, you know, just because of the shade and stuff like that. In those type right. areas, does that change, you think, during the colder months when we start getting, like, right now during the late season when it's cold? Do you think that ever changes?
I do. They tend to be more along the creeks during the summertime where it's cooler, mm-hmm. and then back up on the hilltops, you know, in the wintertime when it's a little bit colder outside so they can catch that morning sun. That's just what I've seen, at least. Another thing, too, is they don't really bed along those bluffs unless they have an easy way down.
Right.
And so that's something to focus on. If you have a really long bluff, you know, and there's no way down, a deer's not going to be stupid. I mean, it'd be like a suicide mission. You know, if a predator come in from behind them, I mean, they're, you know, dead rights unless they were to jump off, you know,
right.
a huge cliff.
Right.
Most of the time, they make sure they have an easy access down.
That's one of the things that I'm trying to learn, because, you know, whenever we've got a lot of the places that we hunt, you know, in Alabama, on the forest land that we hunt, it's got that steep terrain, and, you know, so occasionally you get in there and your Onyx maps or your whatever topo maps you're using are a little bit misleading. They don't necessarily always show you, hey, there's a bluff right here. And so I'm trying to figure out, you know, what is too steep? What is, like, what kind of, is it just bluffs that they're not going to be able to go down? Obviously, I've seen deer climb some pretty steep stuff, but just, are they going to just because? And I'm trying to figure out, is this somewhere that I could focus in on, or is this too steep? Is it too much? You know what I'm saying?
If you think a deer could jump down it and, you know, not kill itself, then yeah, most likely they're gonna use that as an escape route. And they get down some pretty gnarly looking stuff.
Right.
I found a really awesome bed back in the summertime scouting, and I never went there and hunted this year, but it was laid out perfectly. I mean, it was really steep right there at that one little spot, but there was one little crevice he could go down. And I've actually jumped some does up that were bedded along the base of the bluff in the summertime. And you wouldn't think they could get up there that easily, but, I mean, they're just like little mountain goats. I mean, they're you know, just hauling butt up the thing. You'd be surprised what, you know, they could get up and down.
Yeah. Do you think they'll do that, though? Do you think they'll go out of their way because it's safe to be in those type of terrain features, like to travel them on the daily because it's safer and there's not quite as many things that will put them in danger there?
I couldn't see why not.
That makes sense to me.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense as far as their survival and stuff. I mean,
mm-hmm. that'd be something I'd be curious to know, like, because, you know, I see a lot of people, or not a lot of people, I see a lot of deer in, we talk about taking the path of least resistance in their normal everyday travel, but then you also hear, like, deer are smart, and you see that. You see it every single time you're out in the woods, how smart those animals are. And it would just make sense to me that some of these terrain features that people don't really give the time of day to, just because they're difficult. You know, there's one spot that I have that is super steep, really thick, but not too steep that, I mean, I can climb it. I know a deer can probably climb it with ease. And there's a lot of deer sign, and people just don't really pay much attention to it just because it's difficult to access. It doesn't seem like a whole lot of deer would be there, but they are there. And so that's kind of one thing, like, especially like late season for me, when you've gone into all your spots, you know, something I want to get into today for in just a minute is food sources, but a lot of your food sources are eaten up, you know, getting further on into the season, unless you're hunting in, any kind of ag land. So finding those places that can be really beneficial for them to keep them alive, basically, could be your ticket. Are you guys trying any of that type of stuff? Are you, just basically hunting, you know, oak trees and terrain features and stuff like normal?
No, when I was walking through the woods today, I was actually paying attention to what was actually green. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, sure, they do a lot of hardy browse like late in the season, but the privet around here is just demolished. I mean, there was
really
little leaves scattered all over. You know, they had just, it almost looked like they had just stuck the whole thing in their mouth and just pulled it all off with their teeth or something. I mean, there was just every little limb was, you know, bare as can be.
Really?
Yep.
So is that kind of what you're thinking is kind of like a main food source right there right now?
I think in that certain area it was. There really wasn't, you know, a whole lot as far as vines. There's a lot of briars around here, like green briar and stuff.
Right.
There's a lot of cutovers. It's mostly pines, like most of the whole management area. And so there's little fingers of hardwoods, but, I mean, I looked on the ground and I didn't see hardly any, you know, acorns or anything like that on the ground.
Yeah.
But I definitely noticed the privet was just tore slap up.
Well, that's interesting. Yeah, that's one of the things for me that I do remember around that place that you were at that shall remain unnamed is, I mean, there's so many cutovers in there. And, I mean, you have new cutovers that are pretty fresh and probably don't have a lot in it. But then you have some old ones. Dude, when me and you went the other day or back during the spring, during turkey season, there was one spot that I remember was like, I was on a hunting club actually right there. You remember this? And I was like, yeah, we actually had shooting houses like right in there and you could see across this whole thing. And it was so freaking tall, just pines like 20 foot up. And I was like, dadgum, this place looks different. It doesn't even look like the same place.
Yeah. So all of the young cutovers, I just went ahead and labeled all of those as food sources.
Yeah.
And expected them to be feeding in those areas. They offer good cover and they offer, you know, for bedding, and they offer good food, you know, a variety, because the sun's able to get to the ground and they're able to, you know, to thrive at that young age in those cutovers. So, one thing that I noticed, I ran across a lot of deer this morning, and all of the deer seem to be under everybody's lights, you know, like telephone pole lights.
Huh.
They were all feeding out under the lights. And I don't know, it just got, you know, got me thinking a little bit. At that time in the, you know, early morning, it was like 3:30 in the morning, at night. I wonder if that's, you know, just a common thing that they just go to where they can actually see, you know, if anything was coming, you know, to try to get them while they eat. Most of these places, it was just like the grass on the side of the road. It wasn't anything real green. It was almost like hay that they were eating.
That's pretty interesting. So then what you're saying is we just need to go get a whole bunch of spotlights and just do it that way.
Yeah,
a case of natties. And a case
Bubba's of natties. Well,
you already got the truck, so we'd be good to go.
Yeah,
We just need a dog.
Yeah, give us a dog. Hey, we'll take the Pomeranian out that lives next door and see if that she'll do good on a deer. How about that?
He's got a duck dog. Maybe we could train Tucker.
Yeah,
I don't ever get to use him.
He
forgot what a duck is, but
so
where my couch is. But...
So are you a big duck hunter, Heath? Or did you used to be?
Not anymore. I have four kids.
Yeah, those four kids, man.
I used to duck hunt, and I loved it. As a matter of fact, I quit deer hunting when I started duck hunting for about 3 years, and I got the fever. It was something new. It was exciting, the camaraderie sitting beside an edge of a pond or a river, you know, just cutting up until the ducks fly in. And then working the ducks with the calls, I mean, just all of it was really exciting. And then unload your shotgun, and we had one morning where we got on some woodies, and we couldn't keep our guns loaded for about, I don't know, 15 minutes. They were flying in just one after the other, and it was the most excitement I've ever had hunting. So, yeah, I quit deer hunting. And
see, you know, I hear that a lot. I hear that a lot, that people... that people quit deer hunting. I'm like, I just don't get it. Like, maybe I just need to go and figure it out.
No,
but
you don't, because
same thing with turkey hunting. I just don't get that either, you know, over deer hunting.
I mean, I love a turkey hunt. I don't like it more than deer hunting, but I love it. But
I think for the duck hunting, I think it's more for somebody who, you know, really likes the social aspect of it.
Right.
Because, you know, you get to talk and cut up and, you know, have a good time, you know, like kind of like going out on a Saturday night with your buddies or something, hitting up a bar or something, you know, you just get to cut up and have fun. It's a lot different, you know, deer hunting. You know, there's none of that going on. So it's more of a,
I don't know, man. The deer hunting that they do out here is a lot closer to going out with your buddies to the bar.
Hey, maybe we need to start doing it that way. We'll just go up to Winston County and get us some Natty Lights and a big old jacked up, you know, Ford truck, and we'll go out spotlighting. How about that?
That sounds like duck hunting to me. So I got a funny one for Heath. All right, so who's older? Who's the older brother?
I'm older. I'm 4 years older than Heath is.
Oh, okay. So,
He's bigger than me. I mean, he's, what, 6'2" or something?
Yeah, something like that.
He's like 6'1" or 6'2".
I forget how old Mike is sometimes, though, too. So, all right. So, Heath, I need you to tell me the most embarrassing story about Mike.
All right, give me some time to think about it.
All right, we'll give you some time. How about this?
Because I want it to be a good one.
we got probably another.
Got some stories. I don't know about
it. We got a lot of stories,
but not really embarrassing. Mike's a pretty cool cat. He doesn't really ever do anything embarrassing. But we definitely got. I'm more of the embarrassing side. I chased him with scissors through the house before, and then
chased him with a big butcher knife. What are you talking about, scissors?
Yeah, I tried to get down my parents' door and split it in half. So it's more me on the embarrassing side than
him. He used to get really tired of me. Like, if we ever got into an argument, I would just hold his hands until, you know, it would just piss him off so much. One day he actually went and ran into the kitchen, grabbed the biggest knife that we have in the kitchen, and chased me around the house with it, threatening my life. And I was so scared. I ran into my parents' bedroom and locked the door. This MF-er comes through and knocks a hole through my parents' door.
I had to
think. You talk about being scared when somebody's chasing you with a butcher knife and then they knock a hole through the door like he means business.
When did you realize that he was going to be so much bigger than you?
Well, probably right off the bat, because I've never been like a very big person, so
I didn't start growing until I was in about the 10th grade. Really, not really growing.
Yeah.
And that's when I I kind of hit my growth spurt late in life, but
yeah. That's pretty funny.
He did hit me in the head with a hoe one day, though.
No, he hit me in the head with a hoe.
was she okay?
He was trying to act like I hit him with a hoe. No, he hit me with a hoe. I still have a scar on my forehead.
Was she okay once she got up?
He chased me. He was running. We were running around the house. He was chasing me, and I hid behind a bush. And I think he came around the corner and whacked me with it.
No, you were too fast, and so I hid behind the corner of the house. And when you came around,
is that what it was?
Yeah. Then I smacked you with it.
I don't know. It knocked all my sense out. Maybe that's what's wrong with me.
Have y'all hunted together? Like, did you hunt a lot, Heath, when y'all were growing up?
Yeah, when we were growing up, we did.
He's killed the most, the deer with the most points.
Really?
He killed a 13th point when you were how old?
14.
Were you that old?
13, something like that.
He was young.
I killed two deer. So,
down there in Bullitt County at that hunting club that we were in.
On the same field, 1 year apart. Alabama and Auburn were playing both years on the night of the game. Auburn won both years, and I killed an 8-point the first year and a 14. Well, I call it a 14 because it's got a little kicker that I count as a point, but 13 if you want to call it a 13. But, yeah, so that was a pretty cool same field, 1 year apart exactly to the day. Auburn won both years.
So the guy sent him there. The guy sent him there, and he's like, all right, this is what's going to happen. He said, I've hunted here before. He said, like, a little spike's going to come out. He said, don't shoot the spike. He said, then a little 4-point's going to come out. He said, don't shoot the 4-point either. He said, then a little 6-point or 8-point is going to come out.
You can shoot it, but if you wait a little bit, an 8 might come out.
And what happened was a little spike come out, a little 4-point or 6-point come out.
An 8-point came eight out, point and came it was out. A wide 8. And I was going to shoot the 8. And I was hunting with a little 30-30, and so I put my gun out of the window, pulled the trigger, hammer hit, nothing happened. I'm like, what in the world? So I pulled the hammer back again, pulled the trigger, it hit, nothing happened. So on this gun, the spring was messed up on the gun, so you have to pull it out with your pinky. So I pull the gun back in, pull the bullet out, and it's got green gook all over the bullet. And I'm like, well, that's why I didn't fire, so I put a new bullet in, come back up, 8-point still out there, fire off the shot, missed it. All the deer are still standing there. They're looking around like somebody just shot. And I'm on a green field, mind you. That's not, you know, that. So I'm like, oh my gosh, I just missed this deer. So I pull the gun back in. I'm looking down. I'm pulling this hot bullet out with my pinky. I get it out, put a new bullet in. I bring it back up into the window, and then the 13-point is standing out in the field at this point. So I'm like, oh, my gosh, this cannot be true. So I pull my gun back out, shot, and he ran about 30 feet off the edge of the green field and croaked over. When my dad pulled up, he said, was that you that shot? I said, yes, sir. He said, what'd you get? I said, I got a rabbit. He said, a rabbit? What'd you shoot a rabbit for? I'm like, what's a? I said, it's a big rabbit. He said, a rabbit, get your butt in the truck and let's go. And I said, well, come on, I want to try to find it. And I said, I think it ran off the edge of the field right there. And he's like, I ain't worried about no dang rabbit. He, come on. And I said, no, Dad, go out there. I think it's out there. And he walked out. He says, ain't no dang rabbit. It's a buck. It's a buck.
So basically, that was the last time Auburn won. Is that right?
The last buck
you killed, the last time Auburn won. So you need Auburn to take one home so you can get your buck.
14 billion years ago.
That's when I started duck hunting. So evidently, my correlation to Auburn winning is killing bucks. So I guess I need to get back.
All right, well, we're going home. Trip's
over. So even more impressive though is you killed a 13 point on a green field. Like that's pretty.
Yeah.
That's a pretty big deal.
Well,
that's so funny.
That field, Martha, the the Martha Pritchett, and that's the only place I would hunt when I went there.
Yeah.
I'm not really a true deer hunter. Mike's the deer hunter out of the two of us. He knows all about it. I just go out and get lucky every now and then.
Listen, that's usually the people that kill the biggest and most deer are the people who don't really put so much thought and pressure on themselves to kill one. Like, I think I see more deer on Facebook that get killed and there's a green field. They're standing in the middle of a green field. Like,
yeah.
And I'm sitting here like, Mike, that's how it was when we were in Kentucky, dude. Like, all these people were sitting in bean fields shooting deer and we're like hiking and paddling in and doing all this crap.
Yeah.
Trying to kill a deer.
We learned a lesson on that one.
I hope so. It's going to be rough next year when the same thing happens and we're like, well, what was the lesson that we learned? So, Heath, tell me, do you have an embarrassing story about Mike?
I honestly can't think of one. I don't know. I don't have anything that comes to mind. I really wish I did.
All right, Mike.
It's a good platform to make that happen.
It was going to be a good platform, but now Mike is going to have the opportunity to tell the most embarrassing
we'll
story about Heath.
And he's got plenty about me, believe me.
Yeah, an embarrassing moment, I can think of one. So we're real young, okay? And, you know, I'm pretty reserved and, you know, don't want, you know, any extra attention. And so we always used to get in the car. He would always, he would be like glued to the window staring at people, okay? And it just, it made me like want to crawl into like a deep hole. We pull up to a gas station in Aniana, okay? And we're sitting there. And what was it that happened? Do you remember the story better than me?
Oh, you're talking about with the Mexicans?
Yeah. There was a...
I don't know if I could... I might have to edit that out.
Do you want me to stop there? You may come up with something different?
No, that's fine. Go on. Story about Mexicans. If you're Mexican and you listen to this, we don't mean to offend. Anyway, go ahead.
So we're at this gas station in Aniana, and
windows are down.
The windows are down, and what did you say? Like, did you say
I tried to talk like them?
He's like, so they're talking in Spanish, and he's how old are you at this time? He's only like, I don't know, like maybe like six or something like that. I mean, he's real young. And so we're just sitting there. Everything's fine. Dad just went in, like, pay for gas. And the windows are down. It's only me and Mom and Heath out there. And what'd you say, like, what are they saying or something like that? And he's just like, I'll go over there. That's what he started saying out the window. Oh my gosh. He's talking about being embarrassed and you know, just like, you know, sinking down. Yeah, that was it. That was the most. I was more embarrassed than you were.
So it was like an embarrassing story for you.
My mom died. Like, she just, yeah, we both did, and he's just over there. He just thought it was hilarious.
I think it's pretty funny.
You do the same thing with the bricklayers too?
I don't know. I don't remember the big bricklayers. I just remember that one because y'all told me it. So many times.
This is getting a little bit racist. We're gonna have to stop it at bricklayers.
We can edit the other one out too. What's another one?
No, we don't have to edit it out.
Well, I could probably come up with something else.
I wish I could think of any. I don't know. I'm drawing a blank.
And like, and somehow most, Heath is the one who became the youth pastor.
Yeah.
Most unlikely to succeed.
That's awesome. Well, listen, we're getting up close to like, we're close to an hour. So, if you, I read an article today that said it was how to kill a deer in 5 days. Okay.
Please tell me this article. I need to kill a deer within 5 days.
Look one up that says in 2 days because I'm only going to be here today, tomorrow and Friday.
I was just reading different articles and stuff, and one of them was like, how to kill a deer in 5 days. And I was like, well, okay. So
I
your first...
Yeah, you go to Parker's Honey Hole. You can kill like 10 deer in 5 days.
You might be able to. But first, you got to spend 2 days.
How many deer have you seen now in that spot?
I don't know, plenty. I've seen quite a few in there, and between the few spots that I've got that are really solid, I've seen quite a bit this year. But I was tagged out before really even the peak of the rut in that one spot, so I didn't even get to see like the real rut activity over there. But it's been a really good spot.
We'll start calling you Deer Slayer.
I'll take it.
It used to be my name, but I ain't like it.
Is this like, it's like a trophy that gets passed on throughout the year. We need to get a belt made. It's like you are the holder of the deer slaying belt.
Hey, that would be a pretty good idea.
That'd be pretty awesome. But so y'all got like what, Michael, you got 4 days? Is that right? 4 days left?
Well, I'm gonna be here tomorrow and then Friday and then Saturday morning.
Okay.
Maybe. And then that's if I call in.
Right.
And then I'm supposed to be at work Friday through Monday morning. So I'm gonna try to come up here Monday. And after I get off work and maybe hunt Tuesday and Wednesday, because I think this gun hunt goes through the middle part of next week. So,
okay. Yeah, I think you're right. I think it does. So what is the one thing, just to wrap this up, what's the one thing that you're going to do in these few days that you have to hunt this place for this gun hunt? What's one thing that you're really going to focus on?
Fresh sign.
Fresh sign.
I'm finding a lot. Yeah, I'm finding a lot of it right now. I've never seen so much deer crap in my entire life. I was telling you about it earlier.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if I was back at Bankhead, like, I don't even know, like, as far as like buck, like I don't even know how many years basically it's been since you run across a buck third. But up here I felt like I was at the zoo. Like I was having to watch my step walking through the woods so I wouldn't step in it.
That's a good problem to have.
Yeah, that's a really good problem to have.
So finding that fresh sign.
Yeah. I feel like mornings are probably going to be the best right now, which is how I usually feel. Unless you're hunting over a green field, it's tough to get, you know, a buck out of his bedding area into the spot where you're at before dark. You know, unless you've got like a really nice piece of property with a really nice green field and he feels okay going to. Mm-hmm. That's about the only time that I've had real good luck hunting in the evenings. Morning seemed to be a whole lot better for me personally. Maybe if our listeners could give me some tips on evening hunts, you know, where to kill these bucks at. What do you think, Parker? What are you doing? Are you having any luck with evenings?
Man, no. Like, I've killed... All three of the bucks that I killed this year were in the mornings. I'm trying to think of... I saw during bow season, I saw about 11 deer one afternoon. Nothing decent. I saw two small bucks and the rest were does. And other than that day, I have not had any success in the evenings. I haven't even... Well, I killed the opening day, the doe on opening day. But it's just as far as seeing bucks, I haven't seen hardly any bucks in the evenings. I don't see much in the evenings, pretty much ever.
Where do you hunt? Do you hunt on ridge tops or in bottoms or?
It just depends. Like it really like so. One of the spots that I've been hunting, well, at least before I tagged out, was it was a spot, and a lot of times I will still hunt that leeward side of the ridge just because it's in the back of my mind. So like that top third, I just spend a lot of time right there, especially in the evenings. Just kind of making sure getting somewhere, whether it's up on top or down below, getting somewhere I can see that top third, see that major travel area. Usually it's a logging road or whatever. Just because like in the evenings I don't have like a specific spot that I think, okay, there's gonna be a deer that comes out here. Like I do in the mornings, I know the deer usually are gonna be coming from this direction, going here right now. It just doesn't work that way in the evenings for me. So I just try to get to a spot where I can see a ridge, I can see the top of the ridge, and take my chances that way. I
Do
don't really
you
have a.
say, do you have your bedding spot picked out and then your food source picked out, and are you trying to pinpoint between the two or?
Yes. Yeah. I guess that would have been good to say. And a lot of times in the evenings, I don't have it like pinpointed where I know it for sure. I go to where I think, okay, there's gonna be food here. A lot of times I will actually know the food, but the bedding I don't know, because a lot of times in the evening I'm just checking new spots. I'm trying to find new places. I do know some of the bedding areas, but it just doesn't, for whatever reason, I don't see the activity going from bed to food in the evenings that I would in the morning, going from food to bed. I always see that, but
Right.
I have a hard time.
We definitely see it in early season, but we just do not see it in late season.
No, I have a hard time finding anything in the evenings. Like I have a place that I go to. I'll start going there probably within the next couple of weeks. A buddy of mine has some private land, and he lets me go out there and kill does, and it's got like big cut cornfields and stuff, and it's super awesome. And so I spent a lot of my late season just hanging out with him, going in there and shooting some does. And it makes it a whole lot easier than kayaking, for sure. I lose my public land man card, but I'm okay with that.
Well,
I'm
if it's
100%
for
okay
doe
with it.
management, I think you're fine.
Oh yeah, and it's fun, man. It's fun to go out there and just sit. It really makes you appreciate those days, like whenever you can just walk 100 yards to a shooting house and sit over a cut cornfield. That's pretty nice. But
So I think if I ever get a mantis, I'm definitely going to be implementing that back into my strategy for sure
heck yeah,
for the future.
dude, you need to get
So
one, man.
I'm actually looking forward to it, because taking my climber and stuff back in there. Like the spot I went to this afternoon, I was having to walk through real thick briars and have to snip briars left and right. There's no way I would have been able to take a stand through that stuff. I mean, there's just no way. But if I had, something that I was wearing and just had like a few steps on the back, with an aider, God, that would be so much more manageable. And I would have been able to see a lot more real estate. And that's been one of the big drawbacks this year, is not like if you're hunting one side of a ridge, that's all you can see. If I was hunting close to the top, I might be able to see two sides of a ridge, and you're cutting your real estate down by 50%, by
Yeah,
not being
for
able to see
sure.
up over that ridge top. So I think that's been a big, one big thing that's, I won't say that's held me back, but one thing that I've noticed this year that really would have made a difference for me personally,
Yeah.
there's definitely certain areas that, you know, only ground hunting would work, but there's a lot of instances where I wished I would have had an elevated position, you know, in some of those areas.
Dude, I know for me, like, it's just totally changed the way that I hunt. I can get back so many different places. And this isn't even supposed to be an ad for Tethered, but the proof's kind of right there in the pudding. Like, it's just, it revolutionizes the way that a guy can hunt, because now you're not, like, I don't ever think, oh, I can't make it back there. I really don't want to carry the stand that far. Like, that's literally never a thought that even crosses my mind. And then aside from that, you know, it's just like, the awkwardness of carrying a stand, like what you're talking about, going through thick briars and stuff like that, like, it's just not even a thing. It's not even a problem anymore. It's not even something that I have to even think about. And so, like, dude, I can't wait till you get one. I think it'll change everything for you.
Yep.
Well, man, it's getting late. Y'all are an hour behind, so it's only 10:20 there, but it's 11:20 here, and I got to get up at, like, 4:30. So... And I'm going to edit this podcast and get it uploaded.
It's going to be an interesting night. We're supposed to be getting these real strong storms come through here in about an hour or so. They're supposed to be, 20-mile-per-hour winds and rain. And Heath is in a Eno with a little canopy top.
Uh-oh. Are you sleeping in the truck? Are you sleeping in your camper?
Yeah, I'm sleeping in the camper shell. I told Heath, you know, he could come and sleep in there if it got too bad. But, yeah, so that's what we're looking forward to.
Have fun with that.
On top of the short amount of hours to sleep.
Yeah, have fun with all that. I'm going to sleep in this bed and get up and go hunt in a swamp tomorrow morning.
Sounds good.
So I don't know what I'd rather be doing. I don't know if I'd rather sleep in a camper in the cold and rain and wind and all that stuff, but still get to hunt a place where deer actually live, or if I'd rather sleep in this warm bed and then wake up and go hunt a swamp with mosquitoes where there are no deer. I don't know what's better.
Sounds like you need to go get some Natty Lights and make some new friends.
Yeah, that's probably what I need to do. I'll pull up at 8 o'clock in the morning with a case of Natty Light. And y'all ready to have a good time, brother? But I'm not gonna say those words. That doesn't sound right. But you guys have good luck, man. Go kill one tomorrow.
Yeah, man. Hopefully we will.
That'd be cool.
Thank you guys for having me on.
Yeah, dude. It was good to have you. Maybe one of these days we'll get to go and share camp together and kill something. That'd be fun.
Sounds good.
Awesome. Well, good luck, guys. Thanks for coming on. And even though it's late, y'all get some sleep. All right, that's going to be it for this episode of the Southern Ground Hunting Podcast. Again, I said it before, but I'll say it again. Merry Christmas. Hope it was awesome. Hope you guys have a great new year. A huge shout out to our partners at New Breed Archery, Tethered Nation, Onyx Maps, and Go Wild. Check out all of those companies, guys. You're not going to regret it. We believe in everything they do. God gave us dominion over the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, and the beasts of the earth. So this weekend, guys, just go out and exercise that dominion. I will talk to you next year. You guys, thanks for listening to the Southern Ground Hunting Podcast. Talk to you next time.